Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
It's the Anfield Wrap on Radio City Talk. Neil Atkinson, Paul Cini and Philippa Smallwood with you until 7:30 this evening. Let's be very, very clear. Coming up after 7 o'clock, after the news, we've got Sean Rogers talking about Liverpool versus Arsenal. We're going to be talking about Liverpool versus Arsenal as well. And we're also going to have a chat about the Wenger question after we chatted away about Ranieri last week. Maybe we'll talk about Wenger this week and see where we end up. But before we go any further, we're going to have a conversation around the fact that talk has started. Summer talk has started, Philippa. It seems to have clattered both talk of last summer and talk of this summer. Appears to have really started to motor for Liverpool this week.
Yeah. I'm quite hopeful really about this summer, and I'm hoping that we learn from last summer and also the issue that we had in January, and we don't like leave gaps open so that next January we have the same questions again. It's really difficult because I really want Liverpool not to make wholesale changes this summer, but then our form over the past couple of months has kind of made me question whether or not if that's feasible or not. What do you do? What are the questions that need answering? And I think that's all got a bit muddled in the last couple of months. I think I was quite clear before then as to exactly what I felt Liverpool needed, and I no longer seem to have any idea.
On that, Paul, what struck me as interesting is the information coming out specifically about Dembele last summer, that Liverpool, the lad who's at Dortmund, the lad who Liverpool, it seems as though the information that's come out is Liverpool were in for him last summer, and they went all out for him. You know, the talk is that they offered a bigger fee, more wages, all of that sort of stuff. They went heavy for Dembele, and then he ended up going to Dortmund. Is my point here where this ends up, that, you know, Liverpool appear to be competing not with Spurs, as we used to say, we're in for the same players as Spurs, but now it looks like it's Dortmund, it's Atletico, maybe even Juventus. That now appears to be where Liverpool are, which is a good thing, but you've got to acknowledge that simultaneously players might choose to go there.
Yeah, and I remember going back to when we needed a striker, and you always going, but who? And the summer we got Benteke, and you always go, oh, there's plenty of fish in the sea, but there isn't really. It's very hard, especially with the 11 we've got. Don't get me wrong, I think we can improve the 18, but I suppose Liverpool want lads who are currently in the 11 to make an 18 and have definite starters. So to improve on what's in the 11 is difficult, and there's not that many options that will represent guaranteed value for money.
So it becomes about young players with huge potential, Paul. All the links to me, all the Liverpool links appear to be young lads with huge potential, and that's the theory, that's what they're going after. But
the biggest gamble in football, really, isn't it?
On the one hand, it's the biggest gamble in football, but also on the other hand, it's also what those other clubs I've just named do all the time.
I mean, I've seen Dortmund have already done some business for the summer. I don't know exactly who it was, but I've seen Real Madrid and Dortmund were in for a young lad with tons of potential, and Dortmund ended up winning that. And Dortmund are now getting that reputation where they're like almost like what Arsenal got years ago, where they were in for Walcott and Chamberlain, the place where you go and you get a chance and you can become a world star at Dortmund, because they're pretty much guaranteed Champions League football if they're in a decent nick. So they get to go and play in Europe every year because there's not really loads of teams vying for that. You might not ever win a championship there. But you can probably, I mean, if you look at what Aubameyang, he went from San Etienne to Dortmund, he's now a world star, and probably hasn't got a league winner's medal unless I'm wrong. He may have
from got one at the back end.
Yeah. So, you know, Bayern Munich is such a steamroller there that it's going to be difficult to win that, but you can go to a semi-final of the Champions League most years. So the desire to go and play there comes from that. Liverpool have got it, and this is the important thing about now in the end of the season, where people are sort of feeling down because of recent results. You've got to show that you're competitive and that you are going to be fighting on all fronts. Don't get me wrong, the season's over, apart from maybe trying to qualify for with Champions League football. But I think it's important that that we actually go. The product here, the Klopp thing, is still in motion. We're still this positive momentum coming into the summer. So whoever the targets are or may be, that, you know, they go, well, there's a feel good factor around Liverpool.
Yeah. I'd quite like us to potentially announce signings before the end of the season, so that at least you've got a bit of positivity, like you say, going towards the end of the season. Hopefully we finish the season well, potentially qualify for the Champions League, and you get that feel good then going into the summer, and everybody's going, oh, I can't wait to see them back in pre-season and see how they're getting on.
Deals do tend to get done these summers a bit early, the non-European Championship World Cup summers.
So hopefully, you know, come towards the end of April, early May, we'll hear something.
The manager on record last night, he said on the Premier League show, he said that only the top four can be seen as success at this stage, that anything else wouldn't be, that to be back in the Europa League wouldn't make him feel as though he's had a successful season. His team have had a successful season, Philippa, and it makes you think that a lot of this is playing on his mind, that if he wants to get the players he wants, he would very much like to be able to say to them, you know, this is next season, we're going to be, you know, you're going to be able to play European nights at Anfield. We're backing ourselves. Look what we did in the Europa League a couple of seasons back. Now we're in the Champions League, and this is what we feel as though we can do.
Yeah, I understand what Klopp's saying there, but I also think that if for instance we don't finish in the top four, but we finish with 70 or more points, I don't necessarily think that is a disaster. I still think it's an improvement on where we were. The issue is because we had such a magnificent start to the season, and you know we were fighting for the title. Let's not get away from that. And that is where the disappointment lies. But I can understand where he's coming from, and I personally think that if we don't get into the Champions League, we're really going to be struggling to be able to attract the players that we want to attract, and to say, look, you don't need to go to Dortmund or Juventus in order to get into the, you know, the top games that you want to be playing, and you know you can come to us and we can give you that, and at the moment we just can't do that.
The danger is for us as well, if United have another summer like they had this summer. You know, there was people laughing at the businessman United did in the summer, but now that's been put to bed. Pogba looks like one of the top couple of midfielders in the country. Zlatan,
he's flat track bullying. I wouldn't say he looks like one of the top couple of midfielders in the country. For me, he's flat track bullying. He's not been great in any significant game, but he looks very, very good against the poorer sides, and you play more of them.
Yeah,
to be fair.
And I mean, that's maybe where he's still very young, and will have a big impact next season, in my opinion. I think Pogba will be one of the shining stars of the Premier League next season if they can keep Zlatan around, which I imagine they probably will do. And he continues in the same vein, they're going to be a top side United next season. If they add again, you know, they'll be a title contender. So Liverpool, we've got to cheat again, really. Mane was a bit like cheating. I don't think any Liverpool fan in the wildest dreams really would have expected this level from Mane from the outset. So if you maybe add someone who can have that sort of impact again this summer, then we might be all right, but there's a lot of work to do.
The other part of all this, the summer noise, it suggests that it's the manager leading it, Philippa. You know, it's hugely different to Benitez, and I think this is something which collectively the Liverpool supporter base is struggling with, the idea that you buy a player just to have another player and have another option, rather than you wait to get the one that you really, really want. And Benitez did a bit of that, don't get me wrong, but also he was quite happy to buy Hosomi, sell Hosomi, buy Kroenkamp.
Exactly.
Sell Kroenkamp, buy Arbeloa, end up with Arbeloa. And Arbeloa is a gamble, one which pays off. But Arbeloa might just have been a lad who was good enough for Deportivo La Coruña and couldn't do it for Liverpool, whereas he ends up doing well. My point is that Benitez was happy to take these very small incremental steps, whereas the current Liverpool manager feels as though that's not the case.
He kind of wants the final product without having any, I don't know, like you say, incremental steps, really. And I used to get a bit frustrated under Benitez in relation to that, because I used to feel like we had such a turnover of players. You never really knew what the squad was going to be from one season to the next. And although you can say, maybe it was successful in one sense, we actually never won many trophies either under Benitez, so you can't really turn around and say that it...
But there was constant was Champions League qualification.
There was constant Champions League qualification, but then it was probably also in an era where there was only maybe four, a push five sides who were capable of getting in the Champions League, and I think that that's changed now. You know, Tottenham are constantly up there now. You've got even Everton that are working their way up there. You've got your United, City, who were never there under Benitez. You know, so I think the goalposts have changed slightly as well.
My position on this one, Paul, is that it was harder, and I still stand by this. I think it's harder for Benitez to have won a league, but easier to finish in the top four. Whereas I think, given the way in which this league is at the minute, with the way this six sides battle out, it feels as though you haven't got to be quite as perfect as Benitez would have had to be to get to the top four. But the other thing on this is that it's very much this manager who's calling these shots and deciding that it is who he wants. Unlike, for instance, Rodgers, you felt like he was slightly buffeted by events and forces. Mm. And you know, in all of this as well, there's then the stuff around the new CEO to throw in as well, and it's not clear what sort of football involvement he'll have. But it becomes, and I think the reason why the talk of it starting early and there's look backs to last summer, is it's becoming clearer and clearer how big a summer it's going to be.
Yeah, and this maybe comes from the fact that the season, apart from the qualifying for the Champions League bit, is all but over. So you do look to how you get back into winning trophies and stuff. Liverpool will have a trophyless season this season, and it's not what anybody wants. The focus shifts the minute you feel like you're completely out of the league campaign. We're completely out of the league campaign now, so we are looking at the summer. I think, are we not guilty of saying every summer's the big summer?
We are, but I think it is for everyone, and I think that this is the problem now, is that they all feel significant.
Competitive nature of the league, I suppose, but also the fact that I think we've got it wrong on a number of occasions. I mean, Liverpool should not have made a profit last summer. I mean, if they have money there to spend, you're seeing the flaws in that now. Don't get me wrong, I understand it's not as easy as going, we should have just bought more lads.
But this is back to the fact that he wants to buy the lads he wants to buy, and he's not prepared to compromise, surely.
Yeah, but maybe he wanted a 10 out of 10 lad, but the 8 out of 10 lad might have come in handy this season.
I don't disagree with you, but what I'm saying is, to me, this feels, from where I'm sat, like this is the Liverpool manager who wants his lads, or he wants the ones he wants, or I'll make it work somehow.
Well, I'd argue with him that maybe he hasn't made it work. I mean, he'd have been crying out for the 8 out of 10 lads I referenced a moment ago at Sunderland on January the 2nd. So he may be, if you can't get you what you want again this summer, you can't go and play Kev Stewart in the Premier League this time next season. I'm sorry, it can't happen. There's compromises in anything. Who says Mane wasn't a compromise to Dembele? It's worked. So you have got a compromise. It's not that straightforward, I understand. But surely, if you know, we did in the summer, we did some shows where we had lists of players Liverpool had been linked with, and if you didn't get A, you got B. You know, surely Liverpool have got first choice, second choice, and third choice. You might not be able to get any of them, and then you don't want to go down to your fourth choice, but you've got to be suitably prepared to not get your first choice.
Okay, this is the Anfield Rap on Radio City Talk. Just want to give a shout out to Woodlands Hospice, who provides specialist palliative care for people with cancer and other life-limiting illnesses and with complex needs. They have to raise £2,740 a day to provide those services free of charge, and they're doing a bunny run at Croxteth Hall and Country Park on the 9th of April, www.bunnyrun.org or 01515292640. That's what they're up to at the moment, and they've got lots and lots of different stuff coming up. You can keep your eye out, but this is the thing that's closest to the time. Asked me to give it a shout out, and so there you have it. After the break, we're going to have a chat about Arsenal and whether or not they should jump into the post-Wenger ravine. Back in a second. It's the White Stripes 7 Nation Army. Before the break, we were talking about Liverpool and how Liverpool can begin to get concerned, they can get stuck in the waves and all that sort of stuff, Paul Senior. But Arsenal this weekend's visitors are absolutely fascinating for this. I was speaking to Sam Walker-Dyne on 50-50 Football, our new thing that's come out that people can listen to for free, 50-50football.com, and one of the things that he was saying is how difficult this situation has now become for Arsenal because of how plugged into the entire club Wenger is. Like Sam was telling us a story, which is really worth listening to, about how Wenger basically oversees which bits of the floodlights get fixed. Someone said, I've spoken to Mr. Wenger. And you're like, wow, about the floodlights on the outside of the ground. And it's so hard to imagine that club without him now because he's so plugged in.
Yeah, I mean, it's unique in football now since Ferguson's gone, really, that there's a manager knocking around with that much what's the word, you know, that longevity, I suppose, in the club. And yeah, I suppose he's probably there in an era where he did deal with stuff like floodlights and stuff, you know, you're Shankly dealing with almost. Don't get me wrong, he hasn't been that long. But
yeah, he's been longer than Shankly, significantly longer than Shankly.
No, I mean,
since then. But it is worth pointing out, Shankly does, Shankly finishes in 74. Shankly's, Wenger's now been at Arsenal since 1998. I think it's 1998. So that's about to get on for 20 years. You know, that is such a long time to have been at one club.
I think he's
club.
Done 20 years, actually. He won the title in 97, I think.
Sorry, you're right.
So, yeah, he's been there over 20 years. And, yeah, there's probably not many managers who will have been overseeing little bits of the job like that are still in the game now. I don't imagine an Arsenal without Arsene Wenger. He's like part of the brand of Arsenal, the ground move he was involved in. It'd be weird seeing them without, but I suppose, you know, you look at what happened with Man United, and I think it's absolutely how it may go for Arsenal. You know, they finish fourth quite regularly. Unless they can get a manager who really hits the ground running, they may have to take a little bit of short-term pain for long-term gain. I think, you know, in any job, whether you're doing bar work, whether you're doing accountancy, whatever, the same voice can grind on you a little bit. I mean, you look at Charlton with Alan Kerbishley, for example. Mm. What a job he was doing there, and just runs out of steam. Moyes at Everton, I suppose, is true. They get that. I mean, Everton maybe the other way. They get a bit of a bump from Martinez originally coming in. Don't they? That fresh voice with a decent squad, and they can go on to better things. I think it may, because he's so ingrained in Arsenal, it may go the other way, where they do drop out of what is a very competitive chase for top four at the moment, have a little bit of pain, but they may push on. So say they got the fella from Dortmund, Tuchel, or Simeone became available, or whatever. I think we've seen it with Klopp as well. There's a finding out period. I don't see a natural contender for that job in the Premier League.
I think in general that job, you know, the more you think about it, Philip, it feels like three jobs, possibly even four. You know what I mean? And this is where it's going to be so difficult for them, I think. Even then, there's still every chance he doesn't go this summer, that he decides he wants to keep being Arsenal manager, that he gets them back into the top four. None of this is unreasonable. There's every chance this happens, but the end, then, when it comes, it gets locked further and further in, and it'll become even more and more of a profound impact it'll have on the whole football club.
I think the best thing that Arsenal can probably do is I would say keep him for another year or 2 years, but I would demand from him that he has somebody beneath him who is kind of like coaching as to his ways, because I think otherwise it's going to be too much of a change. You're going to have somebody coming in who's going to want to pretty much change an awful lot of what he's doing or done at the club. You know, they have been relatively successful under Wenger, and all right, they haven't won the league in I don't know how many years now, but you know, you take for granted sometimes finishing in the top four, and I think that was something that we kind of took for granted a little bit under Benitez. And I think that if and when Wenger does go, they will struggle to finish in that top four, and they may then see what value they had in finishing in the top four every season.
For me, I think he wouldn't be Arsenal manager for me now this season after last. How this Arsenal side, that was always Arsenal, a young side. Well, this Arsenal side have been together a long time now. How that Arsenal side never put up more of a fight with Leicester last season. Okay, whatever happens this year, we've got a runaway leader this year. That happens in football. And don't get me wrong, Leicester were a bit of a runaway leader last year, but Arsenal should have been pushing them all the way. And I know Arsenal finished second in the end last season, but they were never in the title race, were they? I mean,
they were top early.
They get that mad win over Leicester, the last minute winner, and you think, oh, hello.
Yeah. Hello, yeah, exactly. And they fall to bits. And I mean, if this was a club that had had a manager for 2 years, you go, well, that can happen. But it's a characteristic of this manager's side.
Yeah.
People have come and gone, and don't get me wrong, he went a season unbeaten, so with the right people, that wouldn't happen. But what a side he did have then as well. I mean, from this side, this young Arsenal side that has now turned, you know, Ramsey's not young anymore, Walcott's not young anymore. These lads have been together a long time. For this to be a constant theme with them, almost perennial bottlers, is maybe how to put it. They must be so frustrating. And all you ever want for your football club is to push on. So if you're a side that's sixth in the league and you start finishing fourth, that's great. Arsenal have been in the top four or in the Champions League spaces for 20 years. They're not bothered. That is everyday stuff for them. They're not pushing on.
But if you let them go, there's every chance you go backwards.
But you may go backwards and then go forward long term. There's no easy answer to this.
No, that's why it's so interesting.
He's such a safe pair of hands.
And also for every player, every player's future, Philippe, you know, it would suddenly be up for grabs because they're very much all Arsene Wenger's Arsenal players. Every single one of them, I think, would be, you know, even to the very, very best, the highest paid, right the way down to Jenkinson, will suddenly find themselves in this situation where it will be, what's the next fella going to make of me? Because it's been so long and they've been so used to working with him. And as Paul says, a lot of them actually have been there for a while. There aren't that many big moves and shakes that Wenger makes. And a lot of the players he buys, you see them come to fruition 18 months, 2 years later, like for instance happened with Bellerin.
Yeah, there's just so many question marks. I mean, even like over the likes of Xhaka, they signed in the summer, you know, his disciplinary record is really questionable. And you know, you've really got to look throughout the whole of the Arsenal side. You don't see a really strong spine there. You know, you see decent players, you see players who on the day they can destroy anybody, but you know, when they're up against it like they have been recently, you know, you don't see any vices in there. And you know, the side that Wenger took over, you know, they had the Bolds, the Adams, you know, all these that had it ingrained in them that you fight till the death. You know, you don't give up on those 3 points easily. And it just seems a lot of these players' heads go up very, very quickly. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't even know what's going to happen if Wenger stays, to be honest, because I can't see how the likes of Sanchez and even Ozil stay this summer.
Okay, we'll talk more about Arsenal after the news, which is coming up for you right now. Before then, I just want to mention the Just Giving page has been set up by Diane Lynn. If you Google Just Giving and Diane Lynn, you find it. I've just done that myself. It's to do with the fact that five bereaved Hillsborough families have been asked to pay the costs of David Crompton. It's all explained on the page. So if you Google Just Giving and Diane Lynn, if you want to contribute to that, they're trying to raise £28,000. You can see that there. This is the Anfield Wrap on Radio City Talk, and we will be back after the news with talk of Arsenal with Sean Rogers. And then I've got a question from Sean for Paul and Philippa. Let's see what they say. It is the Anfield Wrap on Radio City Talk. Neil Atkinson, and now joined by Sean Rogers to talk about the forthcoming game against Arsenal. We talk, review the games with Sean every single week, and now we're starting to preview them here on City Talk. And the big positive, first and foremost, with this Arsenal game at the weekend, Sean, is that it's highly unlikely Wenger's going to get sacked before kickoff after last week.
Never say never at the moment. We're right back to where we were after Hull, aren't we, really? Where I just don't know how many times we can keep going back to the well, where I think both the management team and the players should be really confident because of our record in these kind of games, and particularly the reference point of Tottenham is still in recent memory. But we keep having to go back to the well and use those reserves after having a knockout blow last time out. And my hope is that, just with this weekend's game in mind, is, like you say, hopefully Wenger doesn't get sacked. And then following on from that, and Barcelona don't appoint Klopp. And then, as long as those two things don't happen, I just hope that the management and the players can still gain the same sort of confidence, have the same sort of reaction that we had in that Tottenham game. And I, you know, we say it a lot of the time, but I really think a fast start for Liverpool is so, so important. I think that if they start well first 10, it might just banish some memories of the Leicester game.
But also on Arsenal, what I think is really interesting is this record Arsenal have got away at the top six for a good sort of 3 or 4 years. And I actually believe one of the core issues with that, not least because the manager himself referenced it the following season, is what Liverpool did to them in 2014. With the fast start, that Liverpool absolutely, in many senses, just completely broke Arsenal that day. They were 8 points clear of Liverpool at the top of the table. And they turned up to Anfield and they were, you know, for if they'd gone in 10-0 down at half time, it wouldn't have been unfair on the way in which the first half had played out, and then the second half just became everyone just trying to see the game out and coasting. And I do sort of think that's the, you know, Liverpool are obviously scarred by the results they've had against Leicester and all this, but I think that since then, wherever they've gone, Arsenal have acted scarred by this sort of stuff. And especially at Anfield, that whilst they've had decent enough results, they've been very much, they've been quite conservative Arsenal performances, I've noticed. It's only really last season when they go two down to the Firmino goals that they kick into life because the worst's happened again. You know, it's they've been very, very scared Arsenal of Anfield since.
Yeah, in not Rodgers' last season that ended in the October, but in his last full season. I think we drew 2-2 that night, and I think that was when I think might have been the first time Rodgers had played his three at the back. His sort of 3-4-2-1.
He'd done it against United, and then played it. This was the first home game.
And Wenger referenced that afterwards, and I remember quite rightly what you're saying. He referenced 2014, and I was thinking, I'd even forgotten about that in the context of this fixture, and you're referencing it. It just exactly backs up what you're saying about how scarred they are. I think that's why a fast start is just so important, because I think if Arsenal can have a good first 10, 15, 20, I think they're going into the game not quite sure what Liverpool's going to turn up. And if they start well, they'll gain confidence from that anyway and think that the negative Liverpool's turned up, for want of a better phrase. Whereas I think if we can get out the traps just like we did against Tottenham, it's not usual for us to start fast under Jurgen, but I thought against Tottenham, if you just said to me before the game we're going to win Sterling, I really don't know. And if you just said to me at minute 5 or 6, I would have said we're long odds on to win this game today, even based at 0-0. And I think it's just so imperative that the players start fast, because I think that would signify that they've got that belief and that confidence to go into this game. I think Arsenal helps massively the way that they play. Arsenal's just reputation, the record in these games. You know, if it was Chelsea or Manchester United, that would not, of the big games we could have, that wouldn't suit us. You know, a City or an Arsenal would suit us, and of the options we've got, Arsenal will suit best. So we said it about Leicester to a certain extent, the first 20 minutes was crucial. I think it's so vital this weekend.
You mentioned there Arsenal, they should be welcoming back Koscielny, which will be important for them. Ramsey has talked that he's going to be in the shake-up. It's interesting that there's talk that Giroud's going to be fit. I mean, this season, when he goes to Munich, for an example, you know, Wenger's very much committed in certain games, and when he feels that he needs them to play well, to Sanchez up top.
Yeah.
But if you're Wenger this week, you surely start Giroud. I'd be looking to start Giroud.
Yes, it will depend on how he wants to set up, I think. And normally Wenger doesn't change. He's and maybe, who knows, we'll find out over time with Jurgen as to where he's at. Not necessarily system and his formation, more, you know, do you want to defend deep, park the bus, counter-attack, or do you want to try and dominate the ball? And normally Wenger just wants to be as good as he can be and have Arsenal be as good as they can be and say we're going to be the best team on the day. I would say, like you, it would make perfect sense for him to play Giroud, but if he's looking at the Leicester game and say Vardy is an example, and if he thinks Arsenal are going to be able to break at pace, and if he thinks that Arsenal are going to have a decent foothold in the game and play through the lines, then he may well see the justification in going with Sanchez. If he thinks, do you know what, Giroud can expose a couple of weaknesses in this Liverpool team and he's an out left forward, he'll hold the ball up. If we are under any bits of pressure, particularly first 20, there's a way out. There's an argument for that. And I think, again, who he picks up there, hindsight will probably say different, but right now wouldn't be too critical because he's not got a crystal ball, and it depends how he envisages the game going, both good and bad. And I suppose if he's looking at it in a really positive frame of light, I think he's going to go Sanchez. I was surprised in Munich that he didn't go with Giroud.
I was very surprised, especially, I mean, again, it's with the benefit of hindsight, but I was very surprised indeed. Yeah. Didn't go with Giroud in that game.
Totally. So you never know. He may have been on the way home going, would it have changed things completely? Probably not. But if I could have my time again, maybe I'd do that. So it'll be interesting to see what he does. There's a couple of little selection poses for him. I think probably the most important thing for him to decide, which we all presume he's not going to, but it's still possible that he might just tweak things a little bit, Wenger, because I think the way that he normally plays, you look at what Tottenham did, Wenger and his team will have watched that very, very intensely, and that could, if Liverpool are on a good day, they could play in our hands and potentially could take a bit of a beating. As mad as that sounds, sat here after Monday night, if Arsenal come and play in that similar kind of way they normally do, if we're on it, we could tear them apart. So I wouldn't be totally shocked if we see something a little bit, even if it's just for spells of the game. And we said this about Tottenham, like, what are they going to do first 20? Are they going to look to go on the front foot and see Liverpool as a wounded animal? Or are they going to kill the game first 20, take the sting out of it, and then we become our Arsenal,
yeah,
as and when we need to? Klopp hasn't really got any options for me. I think what Jurgen doesn't have any options because of the game and because of our record in these fixtures and because of Tottenham. With Henderson being out, it's whether the replacements
probably
he's made
else.
The centre are.
I'm
yeah.
intrigued by Henderson because, for instance, I think we all thought Henderson wouldn't make United.
Yeah,
as an example, and then he clearly plays against United, and he doesn't look great walking off the pitch at the end of the game against United. And then I think he still gets the week off, and he still doesn't look great the following week against Swansea. You know, you wonder the extent to which he was patched up to make the United game, and I just wonder if there might be, if ever there's a time to be pulling your captain in and saying whatever you can give me, it could well be this one.
I'm sure every injection that's legal. We'll stress legal.
Yeah.
And every specialist is looking at Henderson right now. And if there's something that comes out on Monday night, I'm still stunned at people who can't accept, especially after what we witnessed Monday night, that Jordan Henderson shouldn't be playing in that
yeah.
heart of the Liverpool midfield. Not just because of what he delivers, everything, to be honest. Leadership is something obvious, often discussed with this Liverpool side, but even to the extent of someone in the referee's ear, someone just barking at a few players, someone has that reference point on there. He's one of the very few, I think, that we've got when things are going wrong. I think when things are going well for this Liverpool team, all of a sudden there's a few more senior pros for me than when things are going off the rails.
On that, I just quick on that, because it is something people are talking about at the minute. One of the things I think is difficult, and I've seen 2007, 2008 Steve Gerrard struggle with it, is when I think it's hard to do the senior pro stuff if you're not playing well.
100%.
If you're conscious that you're not playing well. So, for instance, Milner...
Well, it wouldn't bother Keane or Souness, but when you're a bit of a... Well, it sounds bad. When you're a bit of a nicer person, shall we say, or a bit softer person, I think you feel quite rightly, how can I criticise Neil if I'm not delivering?
Yeah.
That doesn't sit with me right. Whereas if I'm absolutely spot on, then, yeah, you know, there's nothing you can come back to me with. You can't... Now, Souness and Keane wouldn't care if you turn around. Well, you wouldn't dare for a start for fear of what goes on in the dressing room. But, you wouldn't turn around to Souness and Keane and dare say anything back, regards how they were playing. They didn't care. They would just go, "What right is right.
Yeah.
And you're wrong. And I've got to sort this out right now."
And I think that's why it looks like there's more senior pros when they're playing well. I think that's the reason why, is because they all know we're on it. You know, you look at that front five the other night, and the front five, and John Gibbons was right to reference this on the other show, you know, the front five, they were just having very, very bad games on top of everything else, whether or not it was the right selection, whether every aspect of it, but they were all just having very, very bad games. So Lallana at times looks like a senior pro, but it's very difficult for Lallana to turn around and ball someone out when he's kicking it out to touch.
Yeah.
And I can see why that's difficult, but with Henderson, he seems to be, you know, he doesn't look like he's got an absolute nightmarish floor in him. He doesn't look like he's going to have a 5 or 4. He might have a 6, but he doesn't look like he's going to have a 4 or a 5. I think that helps, but also I think that he's also got the armband, he's got the seniority, he's got the ability to sort of turn around and go, "I don't care what you think of me, that's just not good enough."
Yeah, I think since Burnley, what he's done very well this season is he can have a bad 10 and he can make what looks like it might become a bad performance into an okay one.
Exactly, yeah.
And he knows, and I think Stevie got this eventually. I think it took Alonso quite a while to do this, actually, is that if you're just not quite having your A game, if the hard passes aren't quite coming off, if the hard touches aren't quite coming off, if the one touch passing isn't working, it's all right to be okay. We don't have to be the best Steven Gerrard, the best Jordan Henderson every single week. And they kind of go into, "I will take them 2 touches and I will just make the easy pass.
I'll have five minutes where nothing will go wrong."
Yeah, 100%.
Things might not go as right as we'd like, but I'll have 5 minutes where nothing will go wrong.
Yeah.
That's something which a lot of players struggle with.
Yeah, 100%. I think there's a lot more maturity in Jordan's game, and I think that's why you can see. And also, I think he's getting used to being Liverpool captain. And I think, maybe I'm wrong, but I just think it's so obvious when he's missing, particularly when games aren't going well. Now, that's not to say that we don't lose games when Jordan's there and think there aren't problems, but it doesn't help that we miss that. And I think if there's a way of getting him, you know, we obviously miss him a hell of a lot more than we miss Lovren. And I know a lot of people talking about Lucas and things like that at the moment, but if you gave me an option of who do I want available for that game, do you have Lucas with Henderson or do you have Lovren with... Well, he could rejig the midfield in any way, to be honest with you. 100%, I'm going to put Jordan Henderson in there right away. Assuming they can't do that, I think his team picks itself. It'll just be interesting if Henderson is out.
Do you think he has to stick with Chan?
I mean, I'm quite a fan of Emre Can. I don't think he played as badly the other night as what people thought, but I haven't watched the game back and I was in the ground and, you know, all them caveats, to be honest.
He had a good
you.
Second half. He had an all right second half.
Do you know what? I said this on the review show, and something that I think is important is one of my favourite quotes was, I think Doug Livermore joined Liverpool as a scout and asked Fagan, or vice versa, what you're looking for in a Liverpool player, and he rattled off a load of skills and a load of techniques and things like this, and not, this isn't the quote, but the gist of what Fagan said, which I think is brilliant actually, is, no, you know, playing for Liverpool when you're 3-0 up at home is easy. There's anyone can do that. So what I want to know is, when you're 1-0 down away from home and things aren't going right, you know, that's where league titles are turned. That's, we need winners, and winners just win, and it's horrible, but they just find a way to win. They just, however I get off this pitch with a win, you get that in boxing a lot, and you just get boxers who, even if they're against an opponent, doesn't suit their style, and they're not doing that well, and they can be down on points, they just get over the line, they just find that way. And you can kind of think back to those great Liverpool teams now and go, do you know what, if that's one of the things you're talking about in opposition, not just like the technique and how good they are and things like that, if you're looking for that kind of mindset, and then when you think of them old Liverpool dressing rooms, that does make a lot of sense. And I thought in the second half on Monday night, I thought Coutinho, Wijnaldum and Can, without hitting anywhere near the heights that they can, I thought second half they showed exactly the kind of attitude, and it was a great shame that most of the others didn't show that attitude, and not necessarily in the skill and value of their performance. I actually thought attitude wise was fantastic. I'm quite a Can fan. What I would say, though, is in this game, with things how they are at the moment, I'd be really tempted to play Wijnaldum in front of the back four. I thought some of his recoveries for us the other night, because of the way the game... If we'd have won that game, I think people would be talking about them a lot more. He made up some massive ground at times to really help out the back four, or the back three, sorry, as it was. I thought he was nice and tidy in there. It was interesting. I don't know how it came across on TV. Jürgen seemed to be quite frustrated with his positioning, and so I think he wanted to nip the game a bit more, use Wijnaldum to switch the play. We were kind of using Coutinho, but it was interesting. It's obviously something I think that Jürgen's got on his mind from the way he was behaving in the technical area. I mean, I don't know about you, I'd be quite tempted in this game to put Wijnaldum in the six, if you want to call it that, and then I'd play Lallana in front, and then the big, it depends on how confident you feel, you've got a big call to make. Now me, I'm sort of a glass half full guy. I'd put Coutinho in there. Especially, you saw second half on Monday night, the difference of having Coutinho 15 metres inside, and Coutinho being in them central areas, all of a sudden a completely different prospect.
Okay, I'm going to find out what everyone else thinks. Thanks to Sean. Let's get back over to Philippa, Paul and Jay. So what are you doing in centre midfield, Paul Senior? What would you do in Henderson's absence? It's been confirmed he's not going to make it through today. Was talking there to Sean yesterday about whether or not they might be able to get him through with some form of injection, because they very much got him on the pitch at Old Trafford, but it seems as though that's now being ruled out, Paul. What would you be doing?
It's a shame, isn't it? Because he's been so good in these big home wins we've had, and away wins at the bigger side so far this season. So what would it do? The question is, I suppose, Coutinho scored in against Leicester in the week, so he finally broke that sort of, what was it, 12 game duck?
He was first in 12.
So I'd have naturally thought maybe dropped him a bit deeper, because he's not influencing the front line as much. I don't know whether Origi might be a move, and to drop Wijnaldum in. What's Sturridge's fitness looking like?
He's out.
Sturridge is out.
Is he?
Sturridge confirmed up earlier today in the press conference.
I mean, Can wasn't appalling at Leicester in a game where there was appalling football, and I'm a huge critic of his. I don't really like Can and Wijnaldum together. So I think for a bit of fluidity that you want at home, I'd probably drop Coutinho in and maybe go with Origi. But that means moving for me. No, it's a difficult one.
Philippa?
I'm changing formation.
So I'm clear about this, because you can make an argument to change formation, but you're changing formation from the formation that has, in the record this season against top sides, that is yet to lose a game of football and has won more than it's drawn.
But have we had Henderson in any of those games? I've been without Henderson, rather.
And that's a perfectly valid point.
So, I'm a bit sick recently as well. Liverpool just keep crossing in the ball. So I want us to narrow it out a little bit, and I'd try it with a diamond. So I'd play Chan in front of the back four, and then I'd go with Wijnaldum and Lallana probably as the two just in front of that, and then Coutinho off the bottom of
Off Firmino and Mane.
Off Firmino and Mane, and play Mane more central.
It's not a million miles away from what we do, that though, not like if you write the 4-3-3 down when they all cut loose. I mean, that you're not, to me there, you're not really putting together some sort of profound plan that changes everything. You're picking quite literally the same footballers.
The same footballers, but changing the system, basically. And then if it doesn't work, you can say, right, okay, this isn't working. You know what you're doing previously in your other positions, and I'd move them back. But I think we've got to try and do something to try and shake our opposition off, because at the moment everybody seems to know exactly what we're going to do and they're able to stop us from doing it. And it's.
But do you think Arsenal are going to try and stop us from doing it? In the sense
it's
that Arsenal.
Point. It's a fair point.
That Arsenal tend to. I mean, it's not to say that Wenger doesn't tweak it, but they tend to play the way Arsenal play. I'm not expecting them to turn up and put 9 men behind the ball.
No, I'm not, but. I also look at our recent record against Arsenal, and I think we've won one of our last 9 games at Anfield, and you know we go toe to toe with them, and it doesn't seem to get as many results. So it's just an option.
Yeah, I can sort of see where Philip is going, because you can, if it's not working, you can revert back to type with the same 11. He's got a lot of belief in Origi in big games. He threw him in at Old Trafford, didn't he? I think Origi's in quite really bad form. You may need him if this Henderson injury persists. Sturridge looks pretty much finished as a Liverpool player now, I'd say. So it probably wouldn't be the worst idea in the world to see how he gets on. That being said, I'm actually saying what I think Klopp will do, I think he'll just play him.
Well, but also, if it's your job, I mean, this is the thing here. We can chat around, and I'll try not to throw the baby out with the bathwater. But we can chat around here, but he's the man who's got to make the decision, Paul. If you know what I mean, and he's got to be able to understand why he's made his decision. And I think that's the hard part, is that he's got a group of players who, for instance, he can spend the week in training after he's tore a strip off them post Leicester, had a look at himself. Everyone's had a look at themselves, but then he's going, lads, you know how to do this. This thing that's happening on Saturday when Arsenal come to Liverpool, you know how to do this. You've been doing it all season. You beat them 4-3.
Might be interesting, you know, from his half-time move the other day, where, I mean, I haven't seen much said about it, but maybe he brings Moreno back in. I thought Moreno did okay, and he could maybe move Milner back into the midfield with Wijnaldum at the base. You know, Wijnaldum and Milner as midfielders aren't poles apart, but if Wijnaldum sits, which he's very capable of doing, and Milner can sort of go in that Wijnaldum role where it's not a playmaker's role, but it's a bit of both. It's a bit of a box-to-box role, isn't it? So maybe that's a move. That's probably one I'd favour. I've only just thought about it now, actually, on air. Also, to the fact that I don't think Milner's having a great time at left-back at the moment. I thought he did okay against Leicester. I think we were talking about it, Neil, while we were watching it, that, you know, he was still 6-7 out of 10 despite... You know, it was all the danger was going in behind and through the middle, wasn't it, with Vardy? So, you know, Milner's not really at the scene of the crime for that. That wouldn't be the worst thing. He hasn't done it so far this season, and there's been a few opportunities for him to have done it. But, you know, what's he got to lose?
Well, the game of football. But what I mean by that is, suddenly we're 4 points behind Arsenal, and they've got a game in hand, and we're having top four conversations, and we're saying at the start of the show how important it is that we finish in the top four so we can buy all these boss players. If we then indeed do and go by the best players.
What's he got to lose in terms of the fact that Alberto Moreno was our first choice left back all season last season, came in at Palace, did a decent job, came on the other day, looked all right for 20 minutes, added a bit of much needed pace to a very one-paced side. The best outlet we've got is the guy that's got raw pace, you know. So adding a bit more of that against a side that's going to probably try and press us high isn't the worst thing in the world. And the fact that James Milner has played top level football, won championships playing central midfield, or playing in the midfield, and would probably play right side of a 3-man midfield where he's very capable. So just because he's played left back for 6 months this season doesn't make him a bad central midfielder still. So I think he'd do a decent job against an Arsenal side, which will I have Zaha at the weekend? I think he's available.
Yeah, he's available, but there's one of the Wenger problems is that you don't know what he's going to do because he's not settled on anything in that area of the pitch all season. I mean, the next thing that you want to see, Philip, is you want to see the individual step up as well. That's been the general frustration throughout the season, and it was the thing that was there before the Spurs game was these lads have got to sort themselves out. It's exactly the same again.
Yeah. I mean, we've not seen a proper performance from these lads. I mean, all right, we beat Tottenham, but, you know, that was more of a grinding out kind of. It wasn't the fluid football we saw in the, you know, up until November. And I just want to see us click for a bit. I just get some of that snap back into our play. And, you know, like you said before, I mean, maybe Arsenal's the right team to play at this moment because they're going to try and come at us. They're going to believe they can get a result. You know, they're not going to stick 10 men behind the ball, but...
the worst thing with Liverpool at the moment, and I think everyone knows this, is the fact that great against Tottenham, poor against Leicester. Wouldn't surprise me if we threw a couple past Arsenal. We're very capable of doing it at home. I don't mean that in an arrogant way, but it's just... the way this season's gone is Liverpool have took the most points off the top six. We've looked a different side against the top six, especially for the last few months when, you know, we've had poor results and then we've bounced back, beat Manchester City, for example. You go to Old Trafford, you get a point, we were all right. The Arsenal, Tottenham at home, you can go and get 3 points. So this game wouldn't surprise me if we turned up and looked like the Liverpool side that was taking teams to pieces earlier on in the season.
Very quick, give me a prediction.
I think we'll win by at least 2 goals.
Philippa.
Draw.
Okay, it's been the Anfield Wrap this week. Thank you very much to Philippa, to Paul and to Sean Rogers. Back with more of this sort of thing next week. Sports Social Podcast Network.